if that's the other part of our store. But tonight it is a great pleasure and honor to have two speakers here in the Kriya Yoga tradition. I have to confess, I've heard about Kriya Yoga for decades, but I don't really know that much about it, so I'm really honored to have both of you here tonight. Badriya Pandya, Kriya Yoga teacher, and tell me your name again.
Richard Peterson.
The difficult name.
The difficult name. Also a Kriya Yoga teacher. Most of you know that Paramahansa Yogananda was also in the Kriya Yoga tradition. So thank you very much for coming to Many Rivers Books and Tea, and I look forward to hearing you tonight.
Thank you.
Please close the eyes. We'll begin with a prayer. I bow to God. I bow to the masters of the Kriya Yoga lineage, Babaji Maharaj, Lahiri Mahasaya, Sri Yukteswar, Sanyal Mahasaya, Paramahamsa Yogananda, Swami Satyananda, Paramahamsa Hariharananda, Paramahamsa Pragyananda. I bow to Yogacharya, Bhadrayu Baba. I bow to you all. Om. Thank you for coming. Purpose of our evening here is an introductory talk in Kriya Yoga. And a way I thought we might start the talk of Kriya Yoga is think for a second, why are we here in the first place? Why are we interested in yoga? What is it that we want? And in reading the literature, the yogic literature, this is kind of a primary question that is asked. And I think if we look at why we're here, what it is we want, we say, well, if I had this, I want that, I want whatever it is. If we take it to a deeper level, what we're looking for ultimately is to be happy. Now, we have moments of happiness, but it's fleeting. So what the great rishis, the yogis, determined is that what we want is to be happy all the time. Now, is there a way that this happiness can be attained? And we're told that, yes, there is. And one of the ways of doing that is going back to our essential nature, finding out who it is we really are in our essence. One of the foundations of Kriya Yoga, or yoga in general, is not that we're a body with a soul, but we're a soul that has taken a body. And yoga is the pursuit. Yoga means union. It's the pursuit of body with the soul is one level of it, and another level, at a higher level, is the soul with Brahman, with the cosmic soul. So that's the, in a nutshell, why we're here is, I would think, is ultimately we want to find this happiness. Kriya Yoga is a technique that promises exactly that, all-around development of body, mind, and spirit. That can help us be more happy, more of the time, and ultimately, as proven by this lineage of Kriya Yoga masters, that we can become firmly established in the soul so that we are constantly in a state of bliss. So that's the essence of of the purpose. So now getting to Kriya Yoga in particular, Kriya Yoga is a very ancient meditation techniques that was around for a long time, eons ago, that was initially for royalty, priests, and ascetics. And through the course of time, the teachings were lost. And then, in 1861, Babaji Maharaj brought back Kriya Yoga once again to mankind. This time it was with a bit of a change, whereas before it was for people who could dedicate their entire life
simply to the pursuit of yoga. This time it was brought back, and it was to be transmitted and provided for householders, for the common man. So I'd like to introduce you to the lineage now. First, I'll just give you their names, point them out the order, and then I'll go into the individual story. This is Babaji Maharaj. This is Lahiri Mahasaya. This is Swami Sri Yukteswar. We're missing. Sanya Mahasaya. Paramahamsa Yogananda. Swami Satyananda. Paramahamsa Hariharananda. And Paramahamsa Pragyananda. So it begins with Babaji Maharaj. He's called the deathless yogi. There's lots that we don't know about him. What we do know is that he is alive. He lives, we're told, on the earth presently, somewhere in the Himalayas. He's called the deathless yogi because he's been around for so long. I was reading recently that they say that he gave Kriya meditation to Adi Shankaracharya, who's a very profound Indian mystic, and also to Kabir. So Kriya Yoga has been around a long time. He introduced it. He came in 1861, introduced it to his disciple, Lahiri Mahasaya. Lahiri Mahasaya was a family man. He worked for the British Railroad for, I think, 25 or 30 years. He had a family, and during all that, he attained grand heights of spirituality, unprecedented. He had many disciples, one of whom was Sri Yukteswar. Sri Yukteswar was initially a family man who had a daughter, a wife and daughter. When the wife died and the daughter grew up, he became a monk. So he kind of had his feet in both worlds, the monastic world plus the householder world. He was a man of extraordinary intelligence and intellect and spiritual power. He had his disciples, but another one, the next in the lineage, would be Bhupendranath Sanyal. Bhupendranath Sanyal, again, was a householder yogi. He was a direct disciple of Lahiri Mahasaya. He was an educator. He was he and Tagore, Rabindranath Tagore, had started a university together somewhere in India. And he was a very profound and beautiful yogi. Now, from Sri Yukteswar, we come to Paramahamsa Yogananda, who was a very famous monk. Paramahamsa Yogananda came to the West at the behest of Sri Yukteswar in 1920 and brought the first wave of Kriya to the West. He went to Southern California. He established what's called the Mother Center there and had different centers in throughout Southern California and now across the world, actually. His organization is called Self-Realization Fellowship, which is different from ours. Kriya Yoga is a tree with many branches, and I'll explain how that works in a second. His brother disciple was Swami Satyananda. He was, again, a monk in India. When Paramahamsa Yogananda left India, he took over charge of the ashrams there and the organization. Then we come to
Paramahamsa Hariharananda. This is Padraya Baba and my Gurudev. I met Paramahamsa Hariharananda in 1979, and it was a tremendous grace that I had the opportunity to meet him, be his disciple, and learn Kriya Yoga. Paramahamsa Hariharananda left his body in 2002, and his designated successor and current master of the lineage is Paramahamsa Pragyananda. So there is a lineage. There are, as I said, Kriya Yoga is a tree with many branches. This is the branch of our lineage. Now, SRF, Self-Realization Fellowship, their lineage essentially goes from Babaji to Lahiri Baba to Sri Yukteswar to Paramahamsa Yogananda. Paramahamsa Yogananda and Hariharananda were brother monks of Sri Yukteswar. Hariharananda was 14 years younger than him. So now why we call our lineage different is because of Baba's, who we call Baba, his initiation into the higher Kriyas through these different masters is how the lineage forms. So Baba took first Kriya, there's six levels of Kriya, took first Kriya from Swami Sri Yukteswar when he was 24 years old. I believe that was in 1932. In 1936, Yogananda, how many of you are familiar with Autobiography of Yogi? Okay. In 1936, Yogananda came back to India. On that trip, Sri Yukteswar instructed him to go and see Yogananda. Yogananda then gave Hariharananda second Kriya. So that completes the link there, continues the link. Yoganandaji went back to Europe, went back to America, and in 1936, Swami Sri Yukteswar had his Mahasamadhi. So, Baba then took third Kriya from Swami Satyananda. Then, Swami Satyananda was away on working in a, living in a different city. Baba took the next higher Kriyas from Bhupendranath Sanyal. So that's what completes our lineage through Baba. And then now, Baba's designated successor and current master, the eighth master of our lineage, is Paramahamsa Pragyananda. So, this is our lineage. This is our. There are other branches of Kriya Yoga, other teachers that teach it, but this is the Kriya Yoga that we teach at the behest of Paramahamsa Hariharananda and Pragyananda. So, having said that and given a bit of an introduction to Kriya Yoga and the masters, I'll now ask Padraya Baba to give us a more detailed, insightful discourse on more of the particulars of Kriya Yoga.
I start with a prayer. Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Deva Maheshwara, Guru Sakshat Param Brahma, Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Godless Master is like a triple divine aspect of God. And triple divine aspect of God is Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh, or Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. So Guru is like the triple divine aspect of God. So I bow to such a Guru. I also bow to the lineage of all the Kriya Yoga masters. I bow to the saints and sages of all the ages. I bow to Paramahansa Pragyanananji. I bow to Yogacharya Richard Peterson Baba. And I bow to the living power of God in all of you. Good evening. Today's topic is Introduction to Kriya Yoga. And Richard Baba gave you a little flavor of what Kriya Yoga is and why we want to meditate, why we want to do Kriya Yoga. And as he said, each and every human being wants to get happiness. Now, whether we consciously know or not, but the kind of happiness we all want is everlasting happiness, and every moment is new joy and new happiness. Because if happiness is the same, we human beings, we get tired of that also. So we want every moment to be a new happiness. And that is the ultimate state of yoga, where you reach a stage when every moment is new joy and new happiness for eternity, for infinity. Once you reach that stage, then there is no unhappiness, no misery, nothing. Every moment you are enjoying. So we all want, whether we may not consciously know about it, but we all want that stage. And that kind of stage you can only get by identifying yourself with your soul. But unfortunately, we always identify ourselves with body and mind. We always think of ourselves as body and mind. And let's give you an example. You might have seen flowing water. You can see that water is flowing naturally, without any problem. You know, just naturally it goes from higher level to the lower level. It doesn't require any effort. It just naturally flows. Similarly, in our case, all our tendencies and desires, they flow to the bottom five chakras in our spine. And bottom five chakras are for money, family happiness, husband and wife, girlfriend and boyfriend, food, different types of food and drink, emotions, and ego. So our mind always flows towards this thing, and we try to derive our happiness from these lower five chakras. But happiness, when we derive the happiness from these lower five chakras, when we have lots of money, when we have a nice house, we are always happy. Okay, but we are happy for a while. Then again, our mind wants something else. We get tired of it. We say, we want something else. Once we have a nice car, then we want to have a nice house and like that. So we always want something else. We are never ever satisfied with what we get from this material world. That is human nature. That is where we are. But still, we do not know, so we go after all these things and try to find happiness from these material things. Now, all our happiness is in our mind. If you examine your mind, you will see that mind is very restless, always thinking of something. And if you examine it, you will see that it is thinking either of the past, something that happened to us in the past, which may be a good experience or bad experience, we are thinking about that. But the strange thing, we are thinking about it right now, but it is not happening now. It happened at the present time or present moment in the past. Similarly, mind is thinking about some event in future. I think, okay, I'm going to college now, but after I finish my study, I will have a nice job, nice house, nice car. We try to imagine, visualize what we will do in the future. Or sometimes, when we have an experience with somebody we love, or somebody close to us, that person goes through some big trauma in life, some disease or something comes to that person, we start getting fear. What happens if I get something like that? So we become apprehensive about something in future. So, but again, that is not happening now. That is something that is going to happen in the present moment, in the future. So, mind goes either in the past or future, it goes in the time. If mind doesn't go into time and it remains in the present moment, then mind will remain always peaceful and calm. You can try to do an experiment, you know, go to your house, close yourself in a room, and then just sit there for 10 minutes and try to think what next thought my mind is going to get. Be very alert, and you have to be very alert, and you have to watch out very carefully that what my mind is going to think next. If you are successful in doing that for 10 minutes, then during this 10 minutes time there will be no thought. Okay? By some reason, you know, if you get one thought, you just watch the thought, slowly thought will go away, and then again watch for the next thought. You have to be very intent and very alert. So maybe one thought or no thought, and you will see that during this 10 minute time, if you observe your breath has become very slow and feeble. Or you will actually, you don't even have to observe your breath, because when you are trying to think what next thought is going to come to me, you will find yourself watching your breath. And when you do that, you know, you feel extreme peace and calmness. And when you go deeper and deeper within yourself, you will find more joy, happiness, peace and calmness. So the mind is like this. So mind is always trying to control us. Actually we are the slave to our mind. When something bad happens or some troublesome things happen in our life, we become full of anxieties, worries, stress and strain, because mind is controlling us. We are not the master of our mind. Mind is controlling us. And because of this very reason, we are not happy in life. So, what to do? Mind is very difficult to control. How do you control it? And that is where Kriya Yoga comes in. All our divine masters, in the deep meditation, the technique of Kriya Yoga was revealed to them for the very reason to control your mind. Otherwise, mind is not easy to control. And again, when you begin your meditation, mind will not be controlled immediately in one day. It takes time. It's a slow, gradual process. But you will see lots of benefits when you meditate. Now, as I told you, that we want a permanent happiness, which is everlasting new joy and new happiness. But that takes time. It doesn't happen right away. Okay? But in the meantime, when we practice Kriya Yoga, we'll have some immediate benefits. And there are two benefits which I will tell you. One is, practicing Kriya Yoga, will have long and healthy life, and our mind will become very alert. That is one benefit. Long, healthy life, and mind will become alert. Second benefit is, with Kriya Yoga meditation, the power of concentration will increase. And as the power of concentration increases, we'll have more happiness, more joy in life. Okay? It all is concentration. When the mind is very scattered, you are very restless and there is no happiness. So, a normal human being does not have to perform difficult asanas or difficult yogic exercise to do Kriya Yoga. You don't have to painfully plug the nose, hold your breath to do Kriya Yoga. There are other yogic techniques called Hatha Yoga. In those techniques people do it, but those techniques are mainly there for physical health. But this Kriya Yoga is for inner health, mental peace and calmness, and spiritual growth. Now, let us look at, you know, a normal human being takes about 16 to 18 inhalations per minute. Okay? We will see how, by doing Kriya Yoga, how we will become healthy, we'll live a long life, and we will have an alert mind, and we have the power of concentration. So normal human being takes 16 to 18 inhalations per minute. Now when the same person, when he's busy sexually, his pace of inhalation will increase to 24 or 30 per minute. And when he becomes very angry, pace of inhalation increases to 30 to 40 inhalations per minute. And heart attack may be the consequence under extreme anger. Now, if you look at the elephant, elephant takes only 10 inhalations per minute. And it is said that elephant lives a long life. Crocodile, he takes only 4 inhalations per minute. And it is said that crocodile lives more than a century.
What's the word?
Inhalation. Inhalation and exhalation. So he takes 4 inhalations, 4 breaths per minute, and he lives more than a century. Now you all know dog. How dog takes inhalation and exhalation? Very slow, quick, rapid breathing. And how long dog lives? Anywhere from 12 to 18. 18 years. Not more than that. So you can see from the nature that if we can somehow control our breath, then we can have a much better life. So Kriya Yoga is a scientific technique which helps us not only to live a longer life, but to have a healthy life and alert mind. Now, when we sleep at night, we take 10 to 12 inhalations per minute. And the result is complete rest of body and mind. So, actually, if you look at it, the sleeping person is almost a yogi. Because a person, when he sleeps, he doesn't even know where he is or she is. So the person has no body sense. Okay? And when the body don't have body sense and you have deep sleep, the next morning you feel very rejuvenated, you know, and you feel very good. You know, you can see, you can say, oh, I had a very nice sleep. But sleeping person is almost a yogi, he is not a yogi. Because when a person sleeps at night, he is in an unconscious state. While he has no body sense, but he has no consciousness of his own self. When yogi goes into deep meditation, he also has no body sense, but he is fully conscious. His consciousness becomes super consciousness and cosmic consciousness. In other words, he may not have body sense, but he knows that I am me. Okay, he knows that I am me and I am existing. He knows that I am pure consciousness. He realizes when he goes into deep meditation, samadhi state, he realizes that I am not body and mind. I am the soul, and I am living in this body and mind. So that's what he realizes. So he knows that he has existence. Not only that existence, he has super consciousness. He has pure consciousness, and he feels that full of bliss and joy and happiness he feels. So that is the difference between the sleeping person, which is unconscious state, and yogi who goes into samadhi. Now, so you can see that we can live a long life by controlling our breath, by regulating our breath. Actually, the yogis say that God has not decided how many years you are going to live, how many years you are going to live, how many years you are or she is going to live. What God has done is He has given a certain quantity of breath to each individual. Now it is up to us how to consume those breath. If you always remain restless, always remain full of worries, anxieties, stress and strain, if you always remain angry, upset all the time, then we will be consuming our quota of breath very quickly and we will live a short life. If we live a calm and peaceful life, always remaining connected with God, then our breath will be feeble and slow. It will be very tranquil breath. So to consume the same quota of breath will take longer time and we will live a longer life. So that is the reason. Yogis, in the ancient India, they used to live for number of years, like Babaji Maharaj, nobody knows how old he is. He's more than 300 years, but nobody knows. So people can live by controlling longer life, by controlling the breath. So that is immediate benefit. By doing Kriya Yoga, we can improve our health, we live a long and healthy life, and have an alert mind. Second thing is, we can increase the power of concentration. Now, if you might have some experience, if you read a book, which is very interesting book, it's so interesting, you get so engrossed in the book, you don't know what's happening around you. At that time, you watch your breath. Your breath becomes very slow and tranquil because you are fully focused. So there is a relation between your level of concentration and the breath or the pace of your breath. Okay, so by controlling breath, you can increase the level of concentration. And when we increase the level of concentration, we get more joy, more happiness in life. Okay? Now, before continuing this, let me explain to you, life is actually divided into four categories. The first one, the lowest level of life, is in stones. Stone has no consciousness. It has no intellect. But if you are scientists have examined the stone and they have seen that there is some energy movement in the stone. Okay? So So that is the lowest level. One higher level of life is plants and trees. So plant and trees, they don't have any inner consciousness, but they have external consciousness. When one tree is sick, it lets other trees know that it is sick. You know, so there is some consciousness at the external level. Again, trees have no intellect. The higher level than that is animals. Animals have emotions, they have instinct, but again, no intellect. Okay? And the highest form of life is human life. That's the highest form. Because only as human being we have intellect. We have power to analyze everything. We have emotions. But more than that, we have the power to meditate and find God, and find that highest state of happiness. Only human being has that. So great sage Shankara once told, there are three things very rare. And one of the three things very rare is human birth. Because only as a human birth, we have the ability to find that highest joy and happiness. But so many of us don't realize this thing, and we waste our life. You know, we don't make the best use of our life to make an effort to find that highest happiness. Now, Baba Hariharananji used to say that breath control is self-control, breath mastery is self-mastery, breathless stage is deathless stage. Okay? Now, before I explain to you what that thing is, we can see that we cannot live our life without breath. If I close my nose and mouth for 5 minutes, no oxygen will go inside and soul will leave the body. So, what is yoga? There are several meanings of yoga. And one of the meanings of yoga is union. Now, what is the union? Union of what? I'm talking to you and you are listening. So that is a union of my talk and you listening. I'm talking to you, looking at you, you look at me. So there is a union of, you know, looking at each other. Now there is another union, is the soul remaining inside the body. Soul and body together, that is the union. But how soul and body remain together? By breath. If I close my nose and mouth for 5 minutes, there will be no breath going in, no oxygen going in. Soul cannot remain in the body. Soul has to live. So body and soul are together only because of the breath. So that is yoga. But let me give you an example. You can see all the lights here and electric current, but this, there is a light in this bulb only because electric current is flowing through the bulb. If electric current doesn't flow, there will be no light. Okay? And the same electricity which flows through all this bulb also flows everywhere in San Francisco, everywhere in LA. Okay? So that electricity is lighting the bulb. Now this is white bulb, but if there is a blue color bulb, it will give a blue light. If it is red, it will give a red light. So same way, the same soul is within all of us. But we have different personality, like red color bulb, blue color bulb, like that. Okay. So that is a union of soul and body. Now, this electricity is coming from a central location, powerhouse, or we call it utility company. Okay. So the same electricity from utility company goes to all different locations in San Francisco, and there is light everywhere. So similarly, the soul within all of us is connected to one almighty force or one almighty God. And how it is connected? By breath. Because the air I'm breathing, you are breathing, same air is all other people in San Francisco will be breathing. Not only that, people living in India, China, Russia, Europe, they breathe all of them breathe the same air. So we are all connected with each other through a common source, which is the breath. By breath we are connected. Now coming back to what he used to say, breath control is self-control, breath mastery is self-mastery, breathless stage is deathless stage. And you can very easily see that breath control is self-control, because by controlling the breath, by regulating the breath, we will not become angry. We will not become upset. We will have less anxiety, less worries, less stress, because when we meditate, our breath becomes slows down automatically. It becomes more tranquil breath. And because the breath becomes tranquil, we feel more peace and calmness. We don't feel lots of stress, anxiety, worries. So, by controlling the breath, we can control our own self. Breath mastery is self-mastery. Just like controlling the breath, we can have mastery on our own self. Okay? Because we can control ourselves. But this is in the beginning stage. As we go deeper into our meditation, we have the ability not only to control our mental state, but all our physical functions can be controlled. So all these yogis, they used to control their physical functions by controlling the breath. Okay. So that is very easy to understand, that breath control is self-control, breath mastery is self-mastery. Then he says that breathless stage is deathless stage. And there is a controversy here, or it is a little bit paradoxical. Because little while ago I said that if there is no breath going in, no soul will remain, soul will leave the body and we will be dead. And he says that breathless stage is deathless stage. How can that be? But if you think about it a little bit more, you will see, or when you meditate for a few years, you will see that when in your meditation, when you go deeper into your meditation, your breath will become automatically slow and tranquil. Sometimes you will see that my breath is almost stopping, and I don't have to make any efforts. It just happens automatically. My breath stops for a few seconds, sometimes for a minute, and I'm completely comfortable. You don't force it. It should happen automatically. So it happens automatically. When you have that experience in your spiritual life, from that experience you will see that when, if I can go still more deeper into my meditation, a time will come when I may not be breathing at all, but still I am alive. And that is the highest yogic state. And that happens again automatically, nobody can force it. It happens when you go really meditate number of years and go deeper and deeper, by the grace of God and Gurus it comes to that. And when they reach that stage, just naturally, without any forcing, the breath will completely stop, they will have no pulse, no heartbeat. Medical doctors, I know our Gurudev, he used to go in that state just like that. He was sitting here and then he will taking a breath, and then he does one breath and then he's gone. Breath stops, heartbeat stops, everything. Medical doctors examine him and they pronounce him dead. He says he's not alive. But then he can come back in half an hour, 45 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours, depends upon, you know, when he wants to come back. So they can come back. So that means that breathless stage is deathless stage. So when you reach a breathless stage like that, then you have reached a deathless stage. That means there is no death to you. We have mastered our death. We have no fear of death. Because we know that I am going into deep meditation, I am not in the body, still I am alive. And when I want, I come back to my own body. So that is the highest stage that all these masters have attained. Breathless stage is deathless stage. So that is something, and when we reach that stage, every moment is new joy and new happiness. Okay? Now, to reach to, as I said before, that we have to learn how to make our mind more peaceful and calm, how to control our thoughts. And it is very difficult because, as I said, all our tendencies go to the lower chakras. All our desires, tendencies go to the lower chakra. But what I was going to say is that, yeah, we all, our mind goes to the lower chakras. Now, as I said to you, that water flows from the higher level to the lower level, naturally, without, it just happens, you know, it doesn't have to make any efforts. But now the same water, if you want to pull it to a higher elevation, how can you do it? You either need a pump, hydraulic pump, mechanical pump or electric pump. But using the pump, you can lift the water to a higher elevation. Without pump, you cannot do it. So you need some kind of a technique. Similarly, all our thoughts, our tendencies go to the lower level, and because of that, our mind is very restless. So if you want to control our mind, if you want our tendencies not going from the bottom to the lower level but go to the higher level, we need a technique. Without technique we cannot do it. And that's why in this deep meditation, these techniques of Kriya Yoga were revealed by God to these masters. They learned from their deep meditation that by doing certain techniques, you can control your mind. It cannot happen right away, but slowly, gradually, it will be controlled. And then your life will become happier and happier and happier. Okay? Now, oh, yeah. So, I told you the meaning of yoga. Yoga is the union of body and soul. Now, what is Kriya? Kriya is a Sanskrit word. Kriya means Kri and Ya. The meaning of Kri is work. And the meaning of Ya is God. So when we practice Kriya Yoga meditation, you will reach a stage, ultimately, when you reach the higher stage, that every moment of life, you will actually feel, you will actually experience that you are not doing anything. Whether you are driving car, or you are working in the office, or you are cooking food, or you are cleaning utensils, you will actually feel that I am not doing anything. The power of God, my soul is working through me. If you have read, or I don't know whether you remember, it's lots of people raised the hand when he asked, you know, who has, how many of you have read Autobiography of a Yogi? I think it is an autobiography of a yogi, Yogananda is saying. That he's saying, I was writing something, and suddenly I felt that I am not writing. Power of God within me is writing it. So that is the stage you reach. But now, in the beginning stage, you have to make effort. You meditate now, sometime, but then, when you are cooking food, or when you are cleaning utensils, your driving car or you're working in the office, you make an effort to feel that because God is inhaling and exhaling through me, that is why I'm alive. And that is why I can do everything. A dead body cannot feel anything. It cannot do anything. I am doing everything because God is inhaling and exhaling through me. So that is what you have to keep a little thought in the back of your mind. That because power of God is inhaling and exhaling, that is why I am able to do everything. So whenever, even if when we are enjoying our life, we feel that I am enjoying the life, I am eating good food, I am enjoying the food, only because God is inhaling and exhaling through me. A dead body cannot taste any food. So the soul, because of the soul we are enjoying everything. So that you have to begin, I mean try to practice like that in the beginning. Then it will automatically happen. Now, this is the picture of human body and this is the spine. You can see that there are 1, 2, 3, 4 and 5 chakras in the spine and there are 2 chakras in the head. Now this chakra, bottom chakra, is called earth center or money center. Why it is called earth and money center? Because if you look at it, all the wealth comes from earth. Whether it is coal, diamond, metal, trees, fruit, food, everything. And the trees, they give us fruits and food. But tree also, you can make pulp out of it, make paper. So all the wealth coming from earth. That's why it is earth center or money center. It is also called Muladhara chakra. Now all these chakras are in the spine, bottom 5 chakras. Now the second chakra is in the spine but right behind your genital organ. And this is called sexual center or second center. So when husband and wife are enjoying together, or husband, wife, children are staying together, this chakra is more active. When we are working in the office, earning money, this chakra is more active. Then comes the navel center. It's in the spine right behind the navel. So when we feel hungry for food, this chakra is more active. Then right near the heart, there is heart center. Now heart center, when we get emotions, positive and negative emotions, like positive emotions of compassion, love, mercy, or negative emotions of hatred, resentment, jealousy, greed, fear, anger, all these negative emotions come in this center, heart center. So when we feel become very emotional, this chakra is more active. Then there is a throat center or religious center. So when we are religious or philosophical, when we read some scriptures or when we read some spiritual book, when we go to church and temple, this chakra is more active because you know we are in doing some religious activities. So these 5 chakras are the chakras for worldly life. So everything we do in this world is represented by one or more of these 5 chakras. Now this is the 6th chakra, is called the soul center. Between the 2 eyebrows you go 3 or 4 inches inside. That is the soul center, Christ consciousness. And then top center is called the God center. So these 2 chakras are for divinity, spirituality. Now, we perform all our worldly activities through these 5 chakras. Now you might have seen a flute. 7 holes, you blow air from the top hole, and the remaining 5 bottom holes, if you know how to control the opening and closing of the holes, how to regulate those 5 holes, when you blow the air from the top hole, the music will be very pleasant. But if you don't know how to do it, if you just randomly open and close 5 bottom holes and blow the air, it will be very unpleasant music. Okay? So same way, if we know how to regulate the activities of these bottom 5 chakras, we are breathing through the nose, and if you know how to regulate the activities of 5 chakras, then the music of our life will be very melodious, very pleasant. If we do not know how to do it, and if we keep overindulging in the activities of one or more of this chakra, then the music of our life will be very unpleasant, because we do not regulate the opening and closing of these 5 chakras. So we have to, and Kriya Yoga will teach us how to regulate the activities of the bottom 5 chakras. And that is, you can do through the top, these 2 top chakras, this one and this one. Now, so many people have different ideas about spiritual life. Some people think that spiritual life is not for us. If you really want to meditate, particularly Indian people, you know, they have that idea. They think that, oh, if I want to go live spiritual life, I have to go to some mountains and caves, leave my family, go away and meditate there. But that is not so. And particularly for with Kriya Yoga, that is not true. Because we have example right here, Lahiri Mahasaya. He was a family man. He had 5 children, and he worked with the railroad company for 35 years. In spite of that, living the worldly life, he attained the highest yogic state of pulseless and breathless stage of Nirvikalpa Samadhi. So Kriya Yoga is specifically meant for the worldly people like us. We don't have to go to mountains and caves to meditate. And in fact, even if we go there, we will not be able to meditate. Because when we will be in the mountains and caves, sitting there, we'll be thinking about our wife or girlfriend or boyfriend, our house, car, we'll be thinking about all those things, and we will not be able to meditate. So we don't have to do that. So that is one misconception people have. So that is, you have to remove. Second thing, people think that when we practice Kriya Yoga, we have to give up our religion. And again, Kriya Yoga is not a religion. It is a scientific technique to meditate. So person of any religion, following any religion, can practice Kriya Yoga. What will happen that when you do Kriya Yoga meditation, you will be able to understand the deeper meaning of your own scriptures. Like in the Bible, Jesus Christ is saying, if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. What does it mean? Because we have 2 eyes. You know, he says, if the eye is single, then whole body will be full of light. So when we read these scriptures, we will know the deeper meaning of what he meant by this thing, by when we meditate Kriya Yoga. So Kriya Yoga, you don't have to give up your religion. Actually, doing Kriya Yoga, you will be able to understand the deeper meaning of Bible, Bhagavad Gita, Quran, Torah, all those scriptures. You can get a deeper meaning. You can understand the deeper meaning of our religion. Another thing, that people think that, oh, if I want to go into my spiritual life, I have to live a very austere life. Okay, I have to give up so many things. But that is not true. You do all your worldly activities, enjoy your life the way you are enjoying. And you don't have to meditate for another thing, particularly for us. We don't have time. We are very busy people. And people in, there are so many spiritual practices like Vipassana and all that. You have to meditate for long, 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 long time. And people have no time. So Kriya Yoga is specifically meant for worldly people like us. So there are 24 hours in a day. You have to find half an hour every day. If you can find half an hour and meditate every day, that is enough. You don't have to meditate longer. But if you meditate half an hour every day, what will happen? And again, don't give up anything in the world. You enjoy, you do everything, you have a nice house, car, enjoy everything. But what happens? That when you meditate and go deeper, you will be able to enjoy the worldly life more. Because why? Because in everything we do, we'll start feeling the presence of God. And what is God? God is not some superhuman being living in high heaven. God is ever new joy, ever new happiness, peace, calmness and bliss. So we'll start feeling His presence in everything, in the worldly activities. When we go on a vacation, we see a nice natural scenery, we'll feel the presence of God. Actually feel it, you know, and God is joy and happiness. So we'll feel that joy and happiness. So we enjoy our worldly life more and more and more. So doing Kriya Yoga is a win-win situation. Now, another misconception people have is that when we meditate, our progress will be a straight line. We'll meditate and our progress will be like that. But it is not like that. Our progress is up and down, up and down, up and down. So, if you look at a shorter horizon, you may not see much spiritual progress. But let us say you are meditating half an hour for 3 years. Okay? Then, if you look at your life 3 years before you began meditation, when the troubles and difficulties came, you are becoming very angry, very upset, full of anxieties, worries, stress and strain. Now, another misconception, people think that once I begin my spiritual life, all my troubles and difficulties will go away. That doesn't happen. According to our past karma, we have to go action and reaction. What you sow, you have to reap. So it is the law of God, it is the law of karma. So if you start meditating, don't think that your troubles and difficulties will go away. What will happen is that if you meditate for 3 years, every day half an hour with love, devotion and faith, then you will see that after 3 years of meditation, when same difficulties or trouble come, or more difficulties and trouble come to you, you will feel less anxieties, less worries, less stress. You become less upset, you become less angry. You feel some peace, calmness and joy within. So that is the difference. Your attitude will change. So that is the advantage of spiritual life. That you go through all the troubles and difficulties, but you react to that in a different way. You don't feel so much anxieties, worries, stress and strain. You will feel some worries. You will feel anxiety, stress and strain, but it will be less than before. And from this experience you will know that if I meditate more and more and more, as the time goes, I'll be less worried, less anxiety, less stress, and a time will come, sometime, when No worries, no stress, no anxieties, no misery, no unhappiness. Every moment is new joy and happiness. That will ultimately come. So that is one first thing. Second thing, that sometimes by the grace of God and Gurus, it doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes by the grace of God and Gurus, if we have to go through some very bad time, lots of trouble and difficulties, or let's say we have to get some very bad disease according to our karma, sometimes if you are meditating with love and devotion every day, sometimes by the grace of God and Gurus, your worries or your disease will completely go away. Completely. Nothing will remain. And we know, Baba Hiranandji, you know, some people with cancer, doctors say that if you have to do surgery in the next 2 weeks, and Baba Hiranandji told that person that you go after 2 weeks, have yourself checked. And they go after 2 weeks, doctors examine, no trace of cancer. So, by the grace of God and Gurus, things like that can happen. Not all the time, but sometimes it can happen. It all depends, you know, how sincerely, with how much love we meditate. And sometimes just their grace, God's grace, Guru's grace, troubles completely go away. That's the second thing. And the third thing that may happen is that law of karma. Now again, remember, what is karma? Karma is not only if we physically or verbally harm somebody, hurt somebody. We can hurt somebody physically or by giving very abusive, bad words, we hurt the person very badly. So that is karma. That is not only karma. Whatever we think, that is also our karma. If you always think negative, oh, I cannot do this thing, you know, I am not capable of doing this thing. If you constantly keep thinking and thinking like that, that is karma, and karma will have a result. So whatever you think, that will have a result, means you will not be able to do that thing. So positive thinking is most important. So when you meditate more and more, what will happen? You will be thinking less and less negative, more and more positive. So when we think less negative, more positive, we are planting the seeds for future happiness. Because law of karma, you are thinking less negative, thinking more positive. So that will have some result in the future, and that will be more happiness, more joy in the future life. So nothing to lose, you know. All you have to do, meditate half an hour every day with love and devotion. Don't meditate for a long, long time. 24 hours in a day, do it for half an hour, and you can change your life. Your life will take 180 degree turn from going towards unhappiness to happiness. And my own example, when I started on my spiritual path in 1978, my life was going towards disaster. Lots of problems in my life. I was always full of worries, anxieties, stress, strain, very unhappy, very bad life. I met Baba Gurudev Hariharananji, and my life changed. It took a 180 degree turn, and I started moving towards happiness. Happiness doesn't come right away, but you start moving towards happiness. So that is a big benefit you have, you know, by practicing meditation. Now, who can practice meditation? Anybody at the age of 13 or older can meditate. Now sometimes when the Guru sees that even the child is not 13 year old, maybe only 5 or 6 year old, but he can see that, oh, he is very spiritual, then he can teach that child even at that young age Kriya Yoga meditation. But general rule of thumb is 13 years. But there is no upper limit. In Europe, there are a couple of mothers, 90 years old, higher, 91 and 95. They were initiated into Kriya Yoga. They are meditating and getting benefits of Kriya Yoga. So there is no upper limit. Anybody can practice it. Now, Kriya Yoga, as I said, it is non-sectarian. Person of any religion, any color, creed, nationality, he can practice Kriya Yoga. So it is for everybody. And any restriction on food. There is no restriction on the food. Baba Hariranji used to say that your food is your food. Whichever food is suitable to your body, whichever food is nutritious and healthy for you, you eat that food. Whatever food you are used to eating from the very young age. Some people from the very young age are vegetarian. They cannot eat meat. So that's their food. Some people from the very young age they are eating meat and everything. So that is their food. Their body can, you know, is suitable, that food is suitable to their body. So they can eat that food. So there is no restriction. You can eat the food that is most suitable to you. There is only now, so what are the requirements for Kriya Yoga, learning Kriya Yoga? You have to have a desire to learn Kriya Yoga. You have to have a desire to make your life happy. If you have that desire, then there is no other requirement. Okay? Now, there is only a little bit, not a restriction, but you have to have moderation into consuming your alcoholic beverages and smoking. Why people smoke? Why they take alcohol? Because when they are under lots of stress, strain, anxieties, worries, to forget all that anxiety, worries, they drink. So for time being they forget. But if they drink too much, we all know what happens next day. Hangover and lots of problems. And then same way they smoke, you know, to relieve the stress. Now when you do Kriya Yoga meditation, if you can naturally feel that peace, calmness, if you don't feel so much worries, anxiety, stress and strain, you will not see any need to drink or smoke. And I know there are so many people, they used to drink a lot, smoke a lot. After they meditated for some time, automatically their desire to consume alcoholic beverages and to smoke went away. They didn't feel like having alcohol or smoking. So it happens automatically. So there is no such restriction. Now, how do you learn Kriya Yoga? In order to learn Kriya Yoga, you have to go through a process which is called initiation. Are you familiar with the word initiation? Okay. So, it is the process of body purification, purification of these chakras, and purification of the senses, sense. So, during initiation, depending upon how many people there are, it may take anywhere from 1.5 hours to 3, 4, or 5 hours, depending upon how many people there are. So we will call each person individually, or one or two persons individually, and we will purify. Actually, I should not say we purify. It is initiation is done by these masters. So we are only the instruments, they initiate you through us. So they will purify your chakras and they will purify your senses. Then, according to your receptivity or according to your spiritual level, during initiation you will perceive triple divine qualities. You will hear Om Amen sound during initiation. That is a very different sound than the external sound. It is coming from deep within. It is coming from the silence within. So that is the Om Amen sound you will hear. Very pleasant, very joy, joy. You feel very lots of joy and happiness when you hear that sound. And then you can perceive divine energy of God in your whole body. And then, with your eyes closed, you will perceive divine light within, inside your head. So that you will perceive according to your receptivity during initiation. After that, even if you, let's say your receptivity is very low and you don't perceive to all these three qualities with high intensity, it does not matter. Because as you meditate, after that you learn how to meditate, and if you meditate every day, then gradually and slowly your receptivity, your spiritual level will increase. And as that increases, you will perceive more light, more sound, divine sound, and more divine energy in your body. And when you perceive this more and more and more, you will feel more joy, more happiness. And what happens? There are so many different types of techniques. So many techniques involve the guru gives you mantra. People chant mantra. But Kriya Yoga is a direct technique. You don't need any mantra. Okay? Why? Because the root of all the mantras is Om sound, Om and Amen sound. Now, when you hear that sound from coming within you, you don't need any other mantra. You remain in that divine sound, divine light and divine energy, and your level of thoughts will reduce considerably. And you will feel more peace, calmness and joy. So, as you go deeper, you know, you will perceive this more and more, and you will feel more peace, joy, calmness, happiness. So this is, so we will perceive this during initiation, and then after that we will wash your feet and offer prayer at your feet. If you know Bible, Jesus Christ used to wash the feet of his disciples. Same way, because living power of God is within us all, so we pray the power of God within you. So we do that, and after that we'll give you a blessing flower from these masters, and then we will do a fire ceremony. It is a traditional way of concluding the initiation. And after the fire ceremony, during the fire ceremony, you will make some commitments that you will meditate every day, you will, you know, meditate sincerely like that. Very simple things you do. And we will explain during the fire ceremony what is the purpose of bringing things with you. Because when you come for initiation, I don't know whether you all know or not, but when you come for initiation, you bring five flowers, preferably red and white, five different fruits, one apple, one banana, one orange, like that, five different fruit, and you bring some donation. So you will explain why you bring all these things. What is the meaning of bringing all these things? So that we will explain to you during fire ceremony. And after the fire ceremony is done, we will teach you how to meditate. Now there are eight different techniques of meditation. Now some of the techniques people don't realize, you know, when they get initiation and they learn this technique, they don't realize what a powerful technique they are learning. Because some of the techniques are so powerful. There is one technique in there which is called Mahamudra. That technique is so powerful, it gives the exercise to the all the internal organs of the body, all the intestine, transverse colon, ascending colon, descending colon, liver, pancreas. And doing this, when people do this technique, they become much healthier. I know there were some people who were under very high blood pressure. They were taking blood pressure pills. Now, once they learned this technique, they were doing this technique three times in every sitting, two or three times a day, three, like that, about eight or nine times every day. And they did it for a few months. And after a few months, that blood pressure became normal. They didn't have to take blood pressure pills. There is another person in Denver, Colorado. He actually scientifically demonstrated that how he can control his diabetes through Kriya Yoga. So you can, it helps you controlling diabetes. It helps you in constipation, acidity problem, and so many other diseases. You know, it helps you. So it's really, you learn some very powerful techniques. And also, when you inhale breath, our breath is divided into five types of prana. That is called prana, apana, samana, vyana, and udana. So these five types of prana, they are in total imbalance. And that's why our mind is restless, we cannot concentrate. So when we do this, some of the three techniques out of those eight, which help you to balance this five prana. And when the five prana become balanced, mind becomes peaceful and calm. And you know, you can feel more peace and calmness, and you get less thoughts, less anxieties. So some very powerful techniques you can learn. So these are the eight techniques we can teach you after that. And also it's advisable, because when we teach you the technique, eight techniques, in the beginning it is very overwhelming. People think, how in the world I can remember all these techniques? But that's why we recommend that you come to minimum three guided meditations. Because we are here today, tomorrow, and Sunday. So during between tomorrow and Sunday, we'll have minimum three guided meditations. So you do three guided meditations and you will remember everything. Not only that, suppose for some reason you don't remember everything, the local center have weekly meditations. So you come to this weekly meditation and you take part in the guided meditations. So if you forget, if you don't remember something, you know, you can revise or correct your technique. And again, you know, once you come to this Kriya Yoga, you are never alone. Okay? You can come to the local center and learn the techniques. Swamiji's, Yogacharyas keep coming. I think Swami Pragyanananji is coming here, right?
He's coming to Santa Barbara.
Santa Barbara. So it's not, I don't think it's far from.
Only 6 hours.
Only 6 hours. It's not very far away. I go to Chicago all the time, 6 hours. I know, but it's a little further away. But anyway, for retreat, it is not bad, you know, because you come in contact with him, and he is very highly advanced, mm-hmm. and it is an opportunity to be in his company. So you remain, and there will be always many guided meditations, lectures on spiritual topics, question and answer. All those things will be there. You stay there for 3 days and three nights, so you will be completely focused. And that helps you a lot. So you can go there. Then, still, if you have any questions, there is a website or there is an email address. You can send your questions through the email, and you can get the answer. Or you can call. If you want to call, you can make a phone call. There are so many yogacharyas, teachers, so you are never away from anybody. So you can always be with somebody, you know. I mean, you will not be alone. It's not like that you are initiated, you learn techniques and that's it, go, no more. No, you will always be with some teacher and some yogacharya, and always, you know, any question, any trouble, difficulties, you can always contact. So that will be like that. So I think that's about it. If you have any questions, you can ask the question, but this is what reality is. Yeah.
I read in the book that Jesus Christ, like, in coordination with Babaji, and stuff, like, you know, asked Babaji to download the Kriya Yoga to the Messiah and then share this one. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So, was Jesus involved, actually?
Involved with what?
With Babaji.
He might be. I don't know. It's a long, long time ago. Who knows? Right? But he may be. Any question, anybody? Don't hesitate. There's no question, a dumb question.
I have a question.
Yeah.
If you were to recommend a book to learn more about Kriya Yoga, what would be your recommendation?
There is a book by Hariharananji. The name of the book is Kriya Yoga. So you can read that book. It gives you more detailed information about Kriya Yoga.
I understand your initiation is starting tomorrow and through Sunday. How important is Sunday? In other words, could I leave Sunday around 2?
Oh, Sunday, there is initiation on Sunday.
Well, she's asking if she did initiation, could she, how important is Sunday? Could she leave half day on Sunday?
No, but as I told you, you know, that you can attend as many meditations as you can, and then you can come to the local center. And that is, I think, you have CD or something?
Yeah.
You have CD.
The guided meditation.
Guided meditation. So, you know, you can learn from that.
So, Sunday is really all about practicing the meditations that we learn on Saturday?
Practicing the meditation, because you learn, need several sessions. Because you will see when you learn the techniques, there are lots of techniques. And you may not remember right away. You need guided meditations. So then you will remember everything. Okay? That's why it is important to attend minimum 3 guided meditations. But also, it's not just meditations. There may be some lectures, some spiritual talk. Like Kriya Yoga in daily life. What? How can we practice Kriya Yoga so that we can make quicker progress?
This will be on Sunday?
I don't know, maybe tomorrow or Sunday. We have to think about it.
See how it goes. Oh.
Yeah.
When you do the initiation, do you do anything to the crown chakra? The initiation?
These two chakras?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It is an initiation in the process, you know. We purify the 5 chakras, and then it includes these 2 chakras also. But you don't need any purification, they are divine spiritual chakras, you know. Yeah.
We bring the fruits and the flowers tomorrow?
Yeah, during initiation, you bring 5 flowers, 2 or 3 red color, 2 or 3 white color.
About the yellow one, is it okay?
It is okay, but yeah, whatever you want to bring. But, and then 5 different fruits. 1 apple, 1 banana, 1 orange, 1 nectarine, like that, 5 different fruit. And then donation, whatever they have donation. You know. So you bring these 3 things for initiation, and then we'll explain, you know, why you bring these things. What is the significance of bringing these things? Any other question? Good. You're all expert on spiritual life.
If anybody is interested in initiation and hasn't talked to me yet, then just see me afterwards and make sure you have directions and schedule and stuff.
Oh, actually, there's a sheet right here by these purple tulips with directions to the place where we're going to be meeting for the rest of the weekend. It's just outside of town here.
Starting at 10 o'clock tomorrow night.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Wonderful talk. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Coming in. Thank you for bringing out these great teachers.
I carried them in my car.
It's such a blessing for the story to have you here. It's deeply appreciated. And thank you all for coming to Many Rivers Books and Tea tonight. It's wonderful to see you all here. Many Rivers Books and Tea has adopted the custom of dana, or generosity. There's a donation bowl on the counter. Whatever donation you can give will be greatly appreciated. A portion of the donation goes to our speakers to support their work tonight, in the future. And a portion goes to the store so that we can continue to hold events like this in the future. Thank you very much for coming to Many Rivers. It's good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.